Welcome to Season 9 of the Leadership Educator Podcast, your source for knowledge and expertise on facilitating leadership learning. Are you passionate about leadership education? Do you want to expand your resource toolbox with practical teaching, learning, and program design strategies? This is the podcast for you. If you haven't done so already, please hit subscribe so you'll never miss an episode.
Before we get into this episode, Dan and I are calling out all of you leadership educators. Are you struggling to spice up your learning activities? Do you need somebody to bounce your ideas off of that has no stakes in the game? Meaning they're not your students, they're not your faculty peers, they're not your dean? Well, connect with us for expert guidance on creating engaging and inclusive classroom learning environments. Are you an academic leader seeking a program reviewer? Dan has availability this semester and would love to help you elevate your approach with customized feedback on your program. You can reach out to both of us through LinkedIn today.
Hello, welcome back to Season 9 of the Leadership Educator Podcast. I'm Dan Jenkins, Professor of Leadership and Organizational Studies at the University of Southern Maine.
And I am Lauren Bullock, Assistant Professor of Instruction at Temple University. And normally, I'd have a super long intro about generative leadership learning and all of the things. If you're here right now and have not heard that intro, pause and go back to any other episode this season, and you can hear that super long intro. But today, since we have a special guest, a podcast favorite, he's our top listener, our number one fan. He's Dan's best friend, and he loves giving him a hard time. Sometimes I wish you could hear the two of them back and forth. It's entertaining. I just wish it came with popcorn. But in all seriousness, we have our guest today. As much as Dan has in common with him, I too have some stuff in common. Like, we share the same dissertation chair, Dr. John Wergen. We enjoy seeing each other at leadership conferences, and we even have embarked on our first research project together.
What?
I know, everybody, keep your excitement together. I'd like to first welcome to the show Dr. Scott Allen.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you so much, Dan. It's good to be with you. Yeah, I have a lot of Dan Jenkins stories that we could kind of, maybe we just do the episode about that, just Dan Jenkins stories. That would be so much fun.
Next time.
I am glad you're bringing that up, because I've been trying to get a Parents of Leadership Educator podcast season together. And because Dan will share great stories about his dad and the things he says. And so I want to surface some of those episodes. So maybe we'll have like a Dan roasting or something.
So
Dan recently got promoted to full professor. If we had our stuff together, we would have had the roasting episode like air and invite all, this is your life format, and invite everybody from his life.
Well, can I tell one of them really quickly?
Yep.
Just real quick. Speaking of parenting. So Dan, about 8 years ago, maybe 10 years ago, was coming to our house and he was going to stay with us. And so our kids probably were 4 or 5 at the time, around maybe 6 years old. And so I kept telling the girls, you know, Dan Jenkins is going to be here, but they couldn't really say Dan. They just kind of said Don. They thought it was Don. And they kept asking, Don Jenkins here? When Don Jenkins get here? Don Jenkins? And so the whole time leading up, it was just Don Jenkins.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes in certain settings, I'll call him Don Jenkins.
It's true. And I'll respond.
Everybody at ILA either rolling or confused when they see Don Jenkins. Speaking of ILA, so we decided to invite you, and as well as we'll talk a little bit about our future guests. So when we found out that you were leading the planning committee for the ILA conference in Chicago this year, we were excited and we thought it would be interesting to hear how planning was going. When we originally started our podcast, this is quite a funny story. So when we originally started the podcast, the first season was, you know, being and becoming a leadership educator. What are some of the basics? And then our second season was talking to people who planned conferences that leadership educators would attend. So it was the NASPAs, ACPAs, LEIs, ILAs, ALEs, all of the alphabet soup, we started to call it. But lo and behold, we'd recorded a ton of episodes and then COVID hit and everybody was shut down. So we quickly pivoted to what was it like planning a conference during COVID? What did you do? Like, I remember distinctly ACUI walked us through exactly how they switched the week before from an in-person conference to a virtual conference. So we thought it would be nice to revisit that kind of conversation. And since we figured we had an in and we knew you, maybe you would do it, we are excited to have you. So today we're going to talk a little bit about what it's been like for you planning the conference, some of the cool things you have in mind. We don't want to give people too much. However, we do want to get people excited to not only attend ILA, but attend some of the other conferences that are coming up this year.
Great. Great. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and hopefully give them an opportunity to get excited about submitting a proposal. We're going to make sure that we get this episode out probably about a week to go left in the call for proposals. So hopefully folks have seen it. If you go to ILAglobalconference.org. And so as Lauren was kind of saying, we decided to tempt fate again by bringing folks to talk about conferences that are coming up. And so Scott, tell us a little bit about how this works. Like, how did you get to be the chair of the ILA Global Conference Planning Committee?
Sure. You know, so I've been involved in ILA for almost a couple decades now. And my first volunteer role, this is how long ago it was that I was the listserv moderator. So I moderated the listserv. That was my official role in the International Leadership Association. I took that very seriously. And then, you know, at the time they were called member interest groups. And so I got involved in the MIGs and just, you know, slowly kind of, I ended up serving on a board committee and then serving on the board for a few years. And after that service, I served on the legacy committee, which chooses the legacy award winners, which has been a lot of fun. And I just stepped off of that. So really how it happens is very simple. I'm in Southern California and visiting on a consulting gig. And Sin had reached out, Sin Cherry, the CEO and executive director of the ILA. She said, hey, let's have dinner. And so we did. And at dinner, she asked, she just said, hey, would you be interested in taking on this role? You know, Cleveland's kind of close to Chicago. What do you think? And she's a challenging person to say no to. And so, you know, I it's a bit of an honor. And for, as the two of you know, for a couple of years, I've had some thoughts and some things rumbling around my head about what we could do to just really tweak the experience a little bit, because it's an incredible experience. And it's like a reunion every year, which I absolutely love. And there's some opportunities. And so this was a chance to kind of capitalize on some of those opportunities. And so I said, hey, are you open to some new ways of thinking about things? And she said, for sure. And so we were off, and it's been a lot of fun. It's actually been a lot of fun trying to corral and put together and shape this conference. So it's going to be an adventure, right? I mean, just look at the context of the timing of the conference this year and just some of the really cool people we have involved and engaged. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, I'm interested in hearing a little bit more about what this looks like and what was kind of going on through your mind. One of the things that you've shared with me over the years, and came back to like one of the first conferences I ever even saw you at, and this is something that folks have also observed, and you may know what I'm going to say about, we'll often say, you know, Scott Allen is notorious for, quote unquote, making his own conference. You'll attend a session here or there, but you absolutely love just kind of like hanging out in the common area and seeing who stops by and striking up conversations or, you know, reconnecting with folks, but also just observing and seeing the culture in real time and just taking it all in. When I heard from you that you were taking on this role, I thought Scott's got so many ideas. I've just been marinating in that noggin for like a decade, like or more. I just was really, really curious about what that's going to look like for you.
You can't ask him to give me your ideas and not have him share the ideas. I know he's like chomping the bit. So Scott, will you share some of your ideas that have been marinating that you actually got some support on in your committee meetings to go with? Maybe one, and then we'll come back.
Well, I think the vision. And I'll see the two of you in November and you'll say, you know, thumbs up or thumbs down. But the vision can be summarized in really three or four words. And it goes like this. I just can't decide. I just can't decide. I just can't decide what to go to next. there's three or four things that I potentially could go to right now that would be awesome, but I can't decide. You know, should I go listen to Juana Bordas or Gail Hickman or Susan Comavez, or should I spend some time with Henry Mintzberg or Mansoor Javidan, right? And so I think there's this kind of both and that we're shooting for, which is this traditional academic conference where people can come and host panels and workshops and engage in that work, which is a very, very traditional approach. But I also think at times it's somewhat tragic that we have some of these individuals walking around the conference and we aren't engaging with them and learning from them. And I would love to hear Susan Comavez give her lecture on LID. I mean, that would be awesome. That would be incredible. And so how do we, and again, maybe for a little bit more of a trained eye, but that trained eye could look at the conference schedule and say, oh, wow, interesting. And that's the goal. So at a very kind of 40,000 foot level, I just can't decide. There's too many really cool things going on. And it could be that I want to go to this workshop on any number of different topics. And that's wonderful. And do we have some other opportunities to learn from and engage with some individuals? And maybe not just one time, or maybe there are two times on the schedule, but maybe there's two or three different touch points that we could involve some of these Legacy Award winners or just people doing really, really cool work in the field, right?
So I love that I just can't decide, because typically not at these conferences, but in general, it's like, I can't decide between like going to the bar or going to a workshop. I can't decide between sitting out here and checking my email and the piling up. And so I love that I just can't decide which session to attend, and the vision it takes to put that on. You made me think though. So we all saw each other in Vancouver. And so I'm wondering, as you were going through the Vancouver conference, were you then starting to look at it differently, knowing the role that you would play in the Chicago conference? Like, what was that experience like for you?
Yes. I mean, it hit me as I'm sitting there watching a panel of Kevin Lowe. We had Bruce Avolio, David Day. You have these individuals from really just incredible, incredible individuals. And I'm maybe getting 15 minutes from each. And it, for me, there's an opportunity there. There's an opportunity for us to use their time differently. And again, I want to hear how Juana talks about her topics. And I want to hear Gail Hickman share some stories. And I want to hear from these individuals, Barbara Crosby, if, you know, again, there's so much wisdom in our community. So it's this both and, but that's where it really, really hit me, was that I want to hear for an hour how Susan Murphy is thinking about strategic thinking, or Mary Ul Bean is thinking about complexity. I literally want to hear her lecture on complexity. That would be awesome. And as the two of you know, having conversations with some of these folks, it's incredible. Barbara Kellerman talking about From Bad to Worse. Yes, I will go listen to that for 90 minutes. And that will be interesting and engaging. And especially for some of us who've been to the conference for a number of years, I just think it's tragic at times when we're not utilizing some of those folks. And again, not just those folks, but I think there's other people doing incredible work. So if we have John Dugan wandering around ILA, well, how are we utilizing John Dugan in different ways to really tap into that wisdom? Or Julie Owen, how are we tapping into that wisdom? Because oftentimes, I at this point, mid-career, I'm a little less enthused about submitting 37 session proposals. And so as a result, I think we miss out on some of that talent, just bottom line. Kevin Lowe talking about the dark triad. Yes, let's talk about that. He's publishing in the world's best journals. He's on our board. Yes, I want to hear. So that just hit me. Mansoor Javidan, we did, you know, a session with him, but I want him to go through the actual research that they've done for Globe, and I want to better understand what they're finding. The format we used with him was great, and I was interviewing him in part, but it wasn't necessarily us learning from him and having it spark new potential opportunities, right? So there's just so much wisdom and talent there. And again, it doesn't just have to be a Legacy Award winner. My mind goes to like Kathy Allen with her wonderful work on regenerative leadership and systems thinking and looking at the earth as a, you know, as a source of great lessons for leadership. Yes, we need to tap Kathy. So that's what hit me the most, right? What also hit me at Vancouver is it's harder to make your own conference when there isn't one central spot. So I had to find different places to set up to have what Dan said a little bit ago, because that is one of my favorite parts, is just sitting down and having an hour long conversation with the two of you, having a drink, having a cup of coffee, and just catching up, right? That's just so critical. So I think there's going to be some unique opportunities for some of that as well. You know, the dialogue group that happened back in January was very well received, very popular. So how do we create spaces where some of that dialogue can occur? And yeah, it's, those are a couple observations from Vancouver.
You know, you shared some interesting pieces. Like it's so funny. I feel like Susan Kalmeves and LEI at Ohio State always pop up in these episodes. So I saw Juana Bordas at LEI at Ohio State, and I remember she salsaed in. And if there were two sessions, hers and Susan's sessions that I remembered, but I remember it was so exciting and creative and different. And it wasn't, I'd never seen anybody dance in to a professional conference. And she proceeded to talk about her heritage and her culture and her leadership. And it stuck with me for obviously over 10 years, 12 years now.
Yeah.
So it feels like recreating some of those either incidental moments, or to your point, some of those informal moments. So Dan and I were talking, and we had just talked to Denny Roberts for a summer research project or a side research project that we were doing. And we ran into him near the coffee station outside of one of the main rooms. And he was talking to us, or he was talking to me, and like Dan's students were over there. And I was like, oh no, we got to share all of this wisdom that you're about to drop on me. I don't want to be selfish. Like, and he ended up talking to all of Dan's students that were there, and it was phenomenal. So it feels like these things have been happening almost in the shadows or unintentionally or uninformally. So it feels like this is, you're being intentional about moving these things forward, because you know that in addition to the workshops, they're also beneficial parts of how we learn. They create that differentiated learning experience.
Yes. And so, you know, it's a both and, right? We've got the traditional heart of how this, you know, submissions and proposals and acceptances and all of that. But, you know, Dan is going to be instrumental in helping us build some, we're also going to have some tracks. So if I'm interested in, if I'm a doctoral student, maybe I have a doctoral track. And again, some of the names I previously mentioned, maybe we weave them into that doctoral track and people have an opportunity to engage with or meet or learn from Nathan Eva, who's doing incredible work, publishing in the world's best journals, and he can provide wisdom and share what he knows about the space. Or we're going to have a scholarship track. And so speaking of Nathan, he's designing a track that if I want to really focus on that, let's say I'm mid-career and I want to be publishing in LQ or I want to be publishing in some of these best quote unquote journals, here's the roadmap. Here's how you do that work. Ron Riggio, yeah, he's done it. He's been there. And we have that knowledge in our community. Kevin Lowe, same thing. Susan Murphy, same thing. Mary Ulbeen, same thing. So we're also, there's some passion around coaching. So there's going to be a coaching track also. So for someone who is interested in getting into the business of coaching or wants to learn more about coaching, you know, Ashley Woolham has just done a wonderful job of starting that dialogue and starting to create and curate a track about that as a topic. So there's going to be some of these curated tracks as well. So if you're a doctoral student, there's a track for you. That doesn't mean you have to go to it, but we want that to be part of the, well, I can't decide. And we also want, if Ron Riggio's there, if Barbara Crosby's there, we want her to be busy. We want her to bounce from a couple different things where she's sharing her wisdom and her experience, because she too has published in the world's best journals. So it's exciting. I mean, I think it's a lot of fun. And again, Cynthia has done just a wonderful job. And of course, Deborah and Shelley at the ILA are wonderful to work with. They've done a wonderful job of creating that space and saying, okay, let's experiment. Let's try some new things. And it's going to be fun. I'm excited to see how it plays out. I really am.
Yeah, we're excited too. And one of the things I always appreciate about you just as a someone in our space, Scott, is just, you know, your ability to not only have some pretty incredible visions, but also to implement them and to bring people around you to help in that process. And, you know, it's doing things with others is something that seems to bring you a lot of joy. We'll say to our listeners, hey, you heard it here first with respect to all these great things that are coming your way with the ILA Global Conference. But where else are you? And perhaps is the ILA sharing this new vision for the conference? How are you assigning and empowering, delegating, you know, roles and tasks to folks on the conference committee? You know, you chat a little bit, Sharon, about, you know, how you got me involved and Nathan, but what does it look like as you're working with all these folks from all these different places and spaces that are part of the ILA network of scholars and practitioners and educators, et cetera, et cetera? What does that look like right now?
It's been a fairly inorganic, not highly structured process. Now, when I say that, I mean, it is structured in the sense that Deborah, Shelley, and I meet every Friday at 9 a.m. The three of us are meeting every Friday. But then from there, we kind of spider out and do our own things, connect with the people we need to connect with, and then we come back together and report. And for instance, so this is kind of how it's worked. I haven't said, hey, Denny Roberts, would you like to be on the planning committee? We have a meeting every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. No. What we've said is the three of us are meeting, we're coordinating, and Denny came to two meetings, and he's helping us think through some of the pre-conference experiences, some of the things that we can be doing and places that we can be engaging with in the community, that there's some really, really cool opportunities there. So he helped us think through some of those initial pieces, but we're not making him come to a meeting every Friday from 9 to 10 a.m. for, you know, 8 months, so to speak. So it's very much about the three of us being organized. And then we see a need or something that we need to start ticking off, like who's in charge of sponsorships, who's the volunteer that's in charge of student volunteers to help staff the conference. And then I'm going out to some key people, tapping them, Marcy Shankman, again, Denny Roberts, you, Nathan Eva, Ashley Woolham. Lauren is working on a project potentially right now as we speak. It's more that way, and that, so it's kind of more organic in that way, so that it doesn't feel like a burden for the people who want to volunteer. It's, I'm going to do my thing, I'm going to help you advance the ball, but we're not going to make this some cumbersome process for you. Now, maybe we have a couple of formal meetings further down the road, but that's what we've chosen so far, and it seems to be working pretty well. Cynthia's heavily involved in the keynotes. We have a couple volunteers, Adam Goodman at Northwestern. Cheryl Harris has been heavily involved, and she's been wonderful, really helping us think through the keynotes. So the three of us might meet with Cynthia, and that, you know, again, it's a couple touch points, but then we're just following up. So it's pretty organic in a lot of ways.
You know, it's nice to hear that there's some planning behind the process, but it's not stressful or it's not anxietal. It's really just being comfortable and just saying, hey, can you do this? And kind of biting off the things you can chew as you can chew them. Can you talk a little bit about some of the changes? Like you hinted at them earlier, but talk about, you know, the roundtable discussions and the Pucha Kacha. I've been calling it Pucha Kacha.
I was practicing it, but then I took Lauren's question.
All right, so can you talk a little bit about how you've transformed the roundtable discussions and how you've brought in the newcomer, Pucha Kacha?
There, you did it.
Yeah, Pucha Kacha. That's going to be a fascinating experience. Well, again, so from the very beginning, I had kind of tapped Corey C. Miller and said, hey, you know, would you help us think through some aspects of the conference? And for those of the listeners that know Corey, she's incredible. She's wonderful. She attended some committee meetings for a kind of short period of time to help design and think through what are some of these changes that we can make to the submission process. And some of that work was already in process, but Corey was instrumental in that. And then Marcy and Chris Esparza have been wonderful in their kind of contributions in helping us think through some of these shifts and some, and again, this is how I couch it, experiments, what are some experiments we can run to see if we can, you know, move the needle and see, does this feel, is the experience one that we want to continue moving forward with? So I think all of that are just experiments that we can run to see if we can create a more vibrant, even more, right? I mean, it's always a wonderful experience, but an even more vibrant, people walk away saying, that was just incredible. That was incredible. Wow. The whole time they're there, they're saying, I can't decide. And then at the end, they're saying, that was incredible. And, you know, we'll go for it. We'll see if we get there or not. But I think some of those shifts and changes are experiments that we're trying. And, you know, maybe we do a debrief conversation afterwards in November. And you can say, you know, you got there or you didn't, or here's some options for the future. So, but I just love the fact that Deborah, Shelley, Cynthia, and the board are willing to run those experiments.
Yeah. To follow up on that, what are you most excited to see in this round of proposal submissions kind of in response to that? You know, we're giving you a platform here to share some of share the vision a bit about what you hope to see. It's certainly a reimagined call for proposals and the way that it's presented and some of the additional insight that's provided. I know I've been a lot of chatter in the field around and you know, throughout my networks and what have you of okay, we got to put this proposal together a little bit differently. Okay, this is shorter. This is longer. They're looking for this. This is, you know, we got to be more specific about that. What are some of the things that you hope to see in this round as you kind of think about putting this entire vision together and kind of painting this entire portrait of this conference in November?
What I'm most excited about, and you know, I apologize because I'm going to sound a little bit redundant, but what I am most excited about is for us to tap the wisdom in the community. That's what I'm most excited about. How do we tap and really, really engage the wisdom we have in this community, and not just for a 15-minute segment or not just for, you know, an award, but create spaces and places for dialogue with these individuals. And again, it's not just our senior folks, but you know, I've mentioned her name already, Corey C. Miller, and her work, it's incredible. Are we creating a space for people to learn from her and the work that she's doing so that, again, who knows what that might spark in some of our younger members who are beginning their career? So are we creating a space where those individuals are sharing their work? There's an opportunity to build relationships among those individuals, with those individuals, with like-minded people in a session. That's just what I'm super excited about. I mean, some of the pre-conference ideas we have are incredible. They'd be a lot of fun. They're going to be really, really cool. Because Chicago is such it's just, whether it's the symphony or whether it's architecture or there's just the shed, you can just go down the list of just the Cubs, the Bears. There's so many things that community offers. So I'm excited about all of that. But what I'm most excited about is the sharing and the dialogue and the relationships. And can we do that a little bit differently? And I don't know. I don't know the answer to that. But and then also, Dan, I'm just excited that we're running experiments, that we're trying some new things, right? I think that's what we have to do. So those are the two things that really stand out for me, that really kind of fire me up. The proposal and submission process, that fires me up less. It's incredibly important. It's critical, but it's the relationships and the community that we build that has been really just so valuable for me.
You know, it's interesting that you're talking so much about the relationships, and I couldn't agree more. It does feel like a family reunion, especially after you've gone a couple of times.
Yes.
Also, interestingly enough, I'll preview the site because my actual family reunion is in Chicago this year. So it should be interesting.
Nice.
Yeah, right. Although it's not the party side. I have a religious side and a party side to my families. And so it's not the party side. It's actually the religious side, but still should be a good time. Mm-hmm. And if nothing else, good food.
Yes.
So, but to your point, I was reading yesterday, we know people are returning to work, office businesses, like the city of Philadelphia, they're forcing people come back to the office. People are upset. And one of the comments that struck me about it centered around the idea that we can go through the pandemic and just return back to engaging and socializing as if we're all the same, and try to go back to that pre-2020 way of socializing. And so it feels like on a very higher level, it's, we know people want to go to conferences, but we know how people have socialized has changed. And this is an attempt to kind of change with or modernize our socialized approach, in recognizing that people still want to be in this space, but they need more. And so your comments and about socializing are interesting and exciting. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how people walk away from this experience, you know, making new friends. Like, surprisingly, I'm actually an introvert. I usually say I'm a midday person, like 11 to 6, I got you. So the idea of focusing on that relationship building sometimes for me can be a lot at these conferences, but it feels like it's a very safe way to engage with other people and just do something different and interesting, which I value, I'm all about. So I'll be there for sure in Chicago, knock on wood.
Yeah, I mean, okay, so here's another way of looking at the relationship piece of this. So we have a number of institutions of higher education that have doctoral cohorts. We could go down the list. Dan's one of them. And so bringing our doctoral students to these experiences is invaluable. Dan's done it for a few years now. Oftentimes, how that works is maybe there's kind of an introductory session and then we disperse. Well, can we create an environment, and Dan's doing this, can we create an environment where for three or four, sessions, these doctoral students could go through this really powerful track, actually build some relationships with people, like actually build some relationships. So then there's that foundation, that glue, that then when I see you next year, oh, okay, hey, Lauren, how are you? We met last year, blah, blah, blah. How's your program going? And then that's that glue that keeps people coming back, is those, that not only the relationships, but then also the learning. So developmentally, are we meeting people where they are in their career? So for instance, if I'm a doctoral student, am I meeting them where they are and being a huge resource in their development and growth? If I'm an early career scholar and there's the scholarship track that Nathan is, wow, oh my gosh, I can meet with some of these people who've published in the best journals in the world. I can meet other people who are passionate about that. And we are kind of like a loose cohort of people who are building relationships. And then are we mining the wisdom in our community in a little bit of a different way and building cross-generational relationships also? So I don't know. I'm excited because I think there's a lot of opportunity there. It's not just I bumped into you at the pub or we were on an excursion together. Maybe we have a couple sessions together where we actually build some relationships, right?
Right. I love all these things. And it is about the relationships that keeps folks coming back, you know, and also about the experience, you know, to your point about both your points about, you know, do we expect people to engage in the same way they did pre-pandemic? And you think about this like experience economy and what have you, if folks are like, do I just want to go and experience the same thing I've experienced or less than that? Is there a virtual conference? Do I have to leave the comfort of my own home and get out of my sweatpants or whatever? And so it's like, if we're asking people to travel from around the world to Chicago, let's make it something that they won't forget. And I love this, you know, circling back to where you started with, I just can't decide what sessions I want to go to. I'm going to have some major FOMO no matter which section. Never wish session.
How was that? Right. Yeah. I mean, again, because you know what it feels like when you've missed, you know, for me, like if I've missed a session by Ron Heifetz, I want to know, how was it? Was it good? What happened?
I have that exact story. I've shared it on the podcast before, but real quick, 30 seconds is like my first ILA Boston 2010. And
yes,
I'm in the Great Ideas Teaching Chair, which I love. And I've become one of the facilitators for that. And there was maybe 20 folks in there. I'm like, wow, this was such a great session. I have so many takeaways. I was talking to somebody. I said, I'm surprised there aren't more people here. And somebody says, well, you know, Ron Heifetz is giving a talk in the such and such room. And I said, who's Ron Heifetz? Because I didn't know
that. That's what I'm saying, though. To a trained eye, Dan, you know, of course you're at that level and you're at that space and that's totally cool, right? And the teach and share was top of mind for you. But mm-hmm. to a trained eye, they'll look at the schedule and they'll say, oh, wow, huh, interesting.
Yeah.
And I can't decide. I'm struggling to choose which one I want to go to here. And not that we want to siphon off from people in workshops. And again, those are going to be attended as well, but just running some experiments, trying some new things, right? That's what's fun. I think that's, you know, one of the main reasons I wanted to sign on is because the team at ILA was so open to that.
That's awesome. So I'll say this, based on your description, based on what we know of you as a human, you will at least have two happy leadership educator podcasts.
You can let me know on the escalator when we pass one another. Like, no, didn't get there. Easy to decide, Scott.
I'm going to openly boo you, Scott. I'm going to be like, oh, you're the champ. Boo. We're now in the phase. So real quick, my son plays basketball and I'm the loving, doting mother. Good job. Did you have fun? You know, I don't bring my basketball prowess to the conversation because I'm like, well, your arms were down on defense, shuffling. My husband, though, openly trolls my son. So if he misses a shot, he'll be like, trash. I'm like embarrassed. I'm like, oh my God. And my son looks over and he's cracking up. Like, he loves the fact that his father trolls him. And when he makes a great play, he knows he shut him up. And yeah. So it's an interesting dynamic to watch. So if you've made a great play, I'm actually going to openly support you. But if it's terrible, Scott, I'm going to boo you on this play.
The moment where they're like, we want to thank this year's conference chair,
and we'll have posters.
You're going to be like, boo.
I would totally. And they'd look like, oh my God, the leadership educator girl. She's booing so rude.
Trash.
So Scott, we have taken up plenty of your time this morning. We always appreciate having you on the show. You know, you have an open invitation, especially if you're going to tell Dan stories and troll. it was a pleasure. On a very serious note, we're excited to support you and bring some of the ideas that you have to fruition together. And we want to wish you best of luck in the planning process this semester and in your business.
Well, thank you so much. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful opportunity to check in. Appreciate your time and the invitation. And yes, I mean, for those who are listening, ILA November 7th through 10, put it on your radar and join us and help us co-create what that future looks like, because your feedback is going to be paramount. So Lauren, you, Don Jenkins, I definitely appreciate your time today. Thank you so much, you all.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Leadership educators who may have a little trouble coming up with creative learning activities to further their course and program learning outcomes are now able to meet with Dan or me to discuss the process they use to ensure engaged and inclusive learning environments. Or if you're an academic leader looking for an external reviewer, Dan brings years of experience in education evaluating leadership programs. Contact us via LinkedIn today.
Do you connect with leadership educators virtually? Please follow us on social media. Search the Leadership Educator Podcast on LinkedIn to find our page. And find us on Twitter at Lead Educator Pod for episode release information, show notes, and upcoming events. You can connect with me on Twitter at Dr_Leadership. And Lauren is at MRSLAURJB. That's Miss Laura JB. You can find the episodes wherever podcasts are available. We also encourage you to please subscribe at theleadershipeducator.com and rate us 5 stars, as the more you rate us, the easier it is for others to find us.
We'd like to thank the James M. Cox Jr. Institute for Journalism, Innovation, Management, and Leadership within the Grady College of Journalism and Mass Communication at the University of Georgia. The support was facilitated by Dr. Keith Herndon, William S. Morris Chair in News Strategy and Management.
And our wonderful theme music was composed, performed, and mixed by Dr. Matt White, trumpeter, composer, and associate professor and chair of jazz studies at the University of South Carolina. Check him out at mattwhitejazz.com. Matt, thank you so much for sharing your musical genius with our audience.
And finally, we are grateful for the support of two professional associations that are destinations for leadership educators: the Association of Leadership Educators and the International Leadership Association. ALE, which funded the start of the podcast, continues to promote our mission of continuing conversations with leadership professionals. Check out all that ALE has to offer at leadershipeducators.org. The global reach of the ILA has helped us to expand our listenership beyond our original borders. Check out the ILA's programs and resources at ilaglobalnetwork.org.